Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Alan and Alan's Hometown Heroes is currently, you can get a nomination in for Hometown Heroes, and we're going to talk about it. It's our annual show talking about Hometown Heroes and the chance for you to nominate someone from around here that you know that's involved in good things. David Williams, an attorney with one of the local Alan and Alan offices, is with us this morning. David, it's great to meet you. Great to have you here.
Well, Ted, thanks for having me. I've been living here in Fredericksburg for a while and have been a big fan of your program, so I'm excited to be here sitting with you today.
This is a treat to have, especially someone's in one of the local offices. Edward Allen usually most years has been with us, but it's always good to meet other Allen and Allen attorneys. You've been here for a while, you were telling me.
Well, gosh, it's gone by so fast, but I moved my family up from Richmond, but we've been in Fredericksburg now for 12 years. My son was been born and raised here, so we consider this as our permanent home now.
Yeah, well, it's shouldn't say it's good to have you here because you've been here.
That's right.
You've got a landmark office for the Fredericksburg office over there on Route 3 by the town center.
I like to say we've got the tallest building on Route 3. We have that distinction.
I have always wanted to go up on the third floor and just see what you see. I mean, I'm sure you've got a great view of the area.
Well, if you go up on the third floor, you might be asked to leave because we're not actually on the third floor. We occupy the first two floors of that building. But even from the second floor, it is a great view.
It's the Allen and Allen building there, and that's considered the Fredericksburg office?
That is the Fredericksburg office. So we also have an office up in Stafford as well. Our Stafford office is located on Route 610, which I like to call the Route 3 of Stafford.
Yeah.
But we are located in Stafford in the Dockstone Plaza.
Okay. So not nearly as recognizable building up there as you've got in Spotsylvania.
That's right. But still a lot of traffic. This is a busy region. So I split my time really between the Fredericksburg office and also running the Stafford office.
Wow, David, you may not have to commute north, but you are going to two of the busiest corridors in this area, Route 3 and 610.
I tell you, well, I do consider that kind of a commute to Stafford. You know, I think if there was no traffic, it would probably take me about 15, 20 minutes to get up to Stafford, but some days it can take 45 minutes.
I was just going to say
with the traffic, so.
Especially with the construction now at 610, and then it's 6:30 in Stafford, then you get up to 610, and it's Route 3 all over again.
Yeah, it can be challenging, but it's also been a blessing to have that office up in Stafford because we're able to better serve our clients because we have a lot of clients living up in that area, and then they're commuting up to Washington, so it's nice to have. Just really convenient for our clients to have those two offices.
We'll get into more as we go along this morning about Allen and Allen and your locations and in what you do. But this is the Hometown Heroes is an annual program. I remember it started. What was it? Was it the 100th anniversary of the Allen Allen Law Firm when you first did this?
Exactly. I mean, that's why we started it. It started in 2010, and it was designed to celebrate our 100-year anniversary. And so that very first year we did it, we actually selected 100 heroes, and we did that to represent one for every year of our firm. But it's been going on since 2010, and this is the ninth year of the program, so we're excited about it.
I think it was so popular, and people enjoyed. I know I did. I remember going through, and people were from all. Kind of all areas of the state were nominated and chosen, and I think it's great to see what a lot of people do. I think it gives people ideas.
Yeah. Well, we have offices all over the state, so that's why people from all over the Commonwealth of Virginia are selected. But I'm not sure when we started it, how long we envisioned the program going on. But I tell you, when we did start it, we continued the program because we saw how the heroes that were selected and how their stories, once they were out there, how that really motivated others in the community to go out and do great things of their own. So that's why we've continued to do it. I think since 2010, we've nominated well over 400 heroes. So it's really a neat thing.
Yeah, boy, that I didn't realize it was that many. It's getting to the point now that if you get to the 10th year or even further down, if you ever wanted to get everybody together, that would be a real undertaking. You'd have to do it almost at the John Paul Jones Arena or something in Charlottesville.
That's right. That'd be a fun event, wouldn't it?
To get everybody together. But anyway, one of the things is we're going to give you all kinds of information this morning about how to nominate and where to do it and all of that. But one of the things we probably need to mention, first of all, is we are bumping into the deadline.
We are right here at the deadline. The process started back on April 4th, and we close on April 30th. So I appreciate you getting me in here today so we can get this last word out to the folks if you know a hero, if you know one of those folks in our community, to get them nominated.
One of the things, I know in the past and when I've interviewed some of the people around here who've been heroes, and I think it goes across the board, all of these people, they don't consider themselves heroes. And I think that's what makes this so unique. Everyone that's chosen and doing things, they just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when people ask me, what is the definition of a hometown hero? Well, it's really just an everyday hero that makes our town a great place to live. And they represent the values, I think, that Allen & Allen was founded on, and those values being service, community, family, compassion. So it's really, our goal is to celebrate those folks who are responsible for encouraging positive change and really just acts of kindness in our community. And you're right that, these people do these things without any glory, not asking for any money. They just do it for acts of selflessness. And this is just our way to put a spotlight on that.
Yeah.
I think when you put that spotlight on it, it's going to just encourage and motivate others to go out and do great things.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I remember a couple of years ago, Michelle Patton Swisher, a teacher in Spotsylvania County Schools, who's been on this program a lot of times, she was nominated and chosen. And I remember talking to her before one of the events that summer that she was involved in. And she told me, she said one of the things that really touched her about it, and she was excited about it, was for her to be on it and for her kids, for her kids to be able to see it. Because she said a lot of times, because of what she does with the social work in Spotsylvania County Schools, she said she's gone a lot from her family. And she would tell her family or kids where she was, but they didn't really understand it. And for her, she was happy just for her kids to see it and hope that they maybe caught that vision too.
Well, I'll tell you, I have two children in middle school, and I make it a point to bring them to the events when we celebrate the heroes, because you're exactly right. I think it's important for them to see that as well.
And again, it's just a wide variety of people have been chosen. If you see somebody or you know somebody, it may be somebody you work with or somebody in your neighborhood, maybe somebody in a Sunday school class that they're doing something that you think should be spotlighted. Put a nomination in.
That's exactly right. And previous winners come from all forms of walks of life. I mean, we've had community leaders, we've had foster parents, disability advocates, small business owners, first responders are always very popular. All of them have a unique and inspiring story of giving. And I'm sure there's tons of those folks in our community, and that's what we're trying to do is, let us know about them. Let's celebrate these folks. Let's build them up and promote them.
Have you ever been on the committee that's had to read through these and choose them?
I have not been on the committee to do that, and I'm kind of glad I have not, because I'm sure it's a very difficult process to try and narrow it down and select. I tell you, our firm does a scholarship committee for seniors, going into college. I've served on that committee. And it's very difficult because, all of the applications we get, you wish everybody could be selected. So it's a tough process.
Go to allenandallen.com. You'll see the Hometown Heroes link, and you just click that on and just just follow it down, and we'll talk about the nomination form. We'll talk a little bit more about Allen and Allen, and we'll talk about just some of the practical work that David Williams does day in, day out as a lawyer with Allen and Allen. Hometown Hero is our focus. David Williams here from the area office. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
David Williams here from Allen & Allen. We're talking about Hometown Heroes. April 30th is the deadline to get your Hometown Hero nominated. Go to allenandallen.com. You'll see the Hometown Heroes link. And David, it's pretty then self-explanatory. It should only take you, it should maybe only take you 15, 20 minutes. You'll fill in some information. You'll write down, why you think the person is special. Now, you want to spend a little time thinking about that and coming up with it, because that's going to be kind of what the committee looks at.
Right. So it's super easy to nominate somebody. You can go, as you said, online to our website, www.allenandallen.com, and that A-N-D is all spelled out. But you can also stop by any of our Allen & Allen offices and pick up a nomination form and fill it out. And again, we got a local office right here in Fredericksburg on Route 3, and then again the Stafford office on Route 610. But yeah, we've tried to make it as easy as possible. The tough thing is coming up with those names.
Yeah, no, to think of, the what is so special about that person, you're only asking for 350 words or less.
Right.
You can also include some links if there's an article's been written or you've seen something that may explain it even better for the committee. But it's a real easy. You've made it very easy and not very complicated.
Yep, and that was by design. And the winners are going to be announced June the 20th.
Okay, I was going to ask you that when that is, and then I know you. It's kind of like after June 20th, the heroes in different ways are kind of celebrated over the summer.
They are. We have a number of events scheduled where we'll bring the heroes, we'll bring their family members, and we're going to invite members of the community in as well to celebrate these folks. But we have a couple wonderful events planned. One is at the Fridays After Five concert series in Charlottesville. We also have a big event at the Flying Squirrels baseball game in Richmond. So it's really a fun time for the family.
Yeah, no, I know that, but especially I've been a couple of times to the Squirrels game when the winners are there, and it's just really good. I mean, for them, I know, because all of these people are just normal everyday people who never expected an honor like this.
They are. They're your next door neighbor. They're the receptionist at the dental office where you go to.
Yeah.
They could be anybody. They're your kid's school teacher. It's neat.
Boy, and for so many of these people, like they don't expect it. They just do it because they do it, and in most cases, they're never expecting it. And I think that's what makes this such a unique program. Nobody ever expects it. I'm going to get noticed for this.
Some of them are embarrassed by it and don't want to be recognized. But again, I think it is so important to give them that recognition, not only to honor what they've done, but to show all of us, look, this is what this person is doing. Let's motivate others to do the same thing. I know it's motivated me and has gotten me more involved in the community and reaching out.
No, it did. Same here. Did you look at some of these cases where the people themselves have, in some cases, a challenging road to hoe? And they're doing all this, and you look at your own situation and think, boy, I could be doing more. And that's why this whole thing is so good, and it ties in really to just the whole Allen and Allen philosophy of just the whole history of the Allen and Allen law firm.
Well, you're right, and again, the values that my firm was founded on, again, service, community, family, compassion. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's how we should all live our lives. And that's why, you know, that's why it was an easy fit for us to recognize these folks who really embody the same values that the firm was founded on.
So 108 years or so ago, how did the Allen & Allen law firm, how did it get started, and where did it get started?
Well, you know, we are the oldest personal injury law firm in Virginia now. We were founded in 1910 by George Allen, who actually was he was from Lunenburg, and he was actually the mayor of Lunenburg, the youngest mayor ever, I think, in the Commonwealth of Virginia when he first became mayor. But he founded the firm.
How old was he, do you know?
He was, he went through law school in 2 years. You know,
wow.
Usually law school is a 2-year program, I think, because he only had funds for 2 years.
Yeah.
So he buckled down and he got through his studies and got an expedited law degree. But he became the mayor of Lunenburg, I think, in his early 20s.
Okay.
Mr. Allen founded the firm, and then he had 3 sons who eventually joined the practice. So that's the second generation. And then those sons had children who also joined the practice. So that's the third generation. And now we're seeing a 4th generation entering the firm.
So oh, wow. Isn't that interesting?
It was founded in 1910. We've been around a long time, and it's very much a family firm.
Yeah. And 8 offices now around the state?
We have 8 offices around the state. We have an office in Richmond and then a number of offices around the Richmond area, like in Petersburg, Mechanicsville, Short Pump, Chesterfield. But we also have an office as far west as Charlottesville. And, of course, we have the office here in Fredericksburg, as well as the office up in Stafford. So 8 offices located across Virginia. And that just gives us the ability to handle the case anywhere in mm-hmm. the state and actually even beyond the borders of our state.
Well, and I guess so the Stafford office, that's the farthest north you go.
That is, and that's the office that we service a lot of our clients who unfortunately are involved in crashes up in northern Virginia and the D.C. area. Because, again, there's a lot of people who live right here in Fredericksburg, and they're making that they're battling I think I read an article, the worst commute in America,
right
95
along there.
Corridor. So, the Stafford office services a lot of those cases for the Northern Virginia area.
Boy, and I get you, because you think of the Stafford office and what it takes. You know, each office has kind of its own individual, you know, based on, I guess, what's in some cases what the Stafford office deals with, and maybe the Charlottesville office might be a little bit different, but you're servicing all areas of the state.
Right, and that's a great thing, because we can deliver great client service that way.
When the Fredericksburg office, when did you first come to Fredericksburg?
I came to Fredericksburg about 12 years ago. I moved my family up to Richmond when I joined the Allen Law Firm.
Was that when the office, the Fredericksburg office first opened?
No, actually, Edward Allen had opened the office here in Fredericksburg probably about 5 or 6 years even before that. We were located on Route 3 in an old bank building, kind of catty-corner to where we are now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But, so you just moved right across the street.
Yeah, because, you know, Fredericksburg, it looks, you know, very different than it did 20 years ago, and the area's really expanded.
Yeah, boy, you moved in at a good time, and as the area has continued to grow, now you've got roots here. You're here. How many other attorneys are based out of the Fredericksburg and Stafford offices?
Well, in our Fredericksburg office, we have 6 attorneys,
and
that includes me, because I handle cases out of both offices. And then up in Stafford, there's myself and another associate attorney is up there. And we actually now have, I believe, 30 attorneys covering all of our offices.
Wow, okay. Are you in court a lot, and your attorneys? Are you yourself in court a lot during the course of a week?
We are. I mean, that's what we are. We pride ourselves on being a trial firm. A trial litigation firm. So we are in and out of court all the time. So we're either in court fighting, advocating for our clients, or if we're not in court, we're doing those things to prepare for court.
What got you involved? When did you decide that you knew you wanted to be an attorney?
Well, if you ask my mother, she will pull out a letter that I wrote when I was in first grade that said I wanted to be a football player and play college ball at this particular school, and also be a lawyer.
Okay.
So you can see from my stature, I didn't quite grow enough where I could survive on the gridiron, although I did play 1 year in fifth grade. But I did manage to go on to be a lawyer. So it's something I always kind of knew that I wanted to do.
Where'd you go to law school at? Was it in Virginia?
No, actually, I went to undergrad at Randolph-Macon, which is right down the road.
Yeah.
And then I went to law school down in Mississippi. And then came back here because my family and my roots are here in Virginia.
You always hear when you talk to two lawyers or about the bar exam, how difficult and how much studying did you have to do to pass the bar exam in Virginia?
It was miserable. I approached it as almost that was my job. So I graduated from law school, moved back home with my parents, and that was really my job for 2 months. Was to study for this bar exam. And in Virginia, when I took it, it was a 3-day exam. And it's held once in the summer and once in like the winter. And in the summer, you go down to Roanoke. And Virginia, for whatever reason, has the distinction that there's a dress code for the bar. So not only is you have this stressful process of, studying for the bar, trying to remember every subject of law that you were taught, you also have to wear a coat and tie. So it was an arduous process, but I passed it. I am also licensed to practice down in South Carolina. I married a wonderful girl from South Carolina, and apparently at one point during the courting process, I had told my wife, no problem, I'll practice law in South Carolina at some point if you ever want to move down with your family. Well, it turns out after about 10 years of practicing law in Virginia. We looked into taking the South Carolina bar. I thought you could just wave in. I would fill out an application.
I've
been practicing for 10
in
years.
In Virginia.
Well, South Carolina doesn't have what's called reciprocity. So I ended up having to take the whole bar again.
I was going to ask you, so you had to go through the same thing down in...
I did, but imagine this. So now I was 10 years out. So, I wasn't, and my practice was focused on what we do, personal injury, trial work. So I was having to relearn all those subject areas. And this was in addition to having a full-time job,
right?
A full-time trial load. So what I was doing, I was coming, I was working my job, trying cases, and then coming home at night and studying for the South Carolina bar on back then, I think it was tapes. I'm not even sure CDs were there. But I passed the South Carolina bar and consider it one of my greatest achievements that I was able to do that.
I got a couple other questions. This is fascinating. We'll continue with this. David Williams here with Alan and Alan. Hometown Heroes is what we are talking about, but we're now talking about taking the bar exam that I find fascinating. AlanandAlan.com. Go to the website. You'll see the link to Hometown Heroes. Click that on and fill it out. April 30th is the deadline. We'll continue to talk about this and more with David Williams. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
David Williams with the local Allen & Allen office here this morning. We are talking, among other things, our main topic this morning is Hometown Heroes. April 30th is the deadline to get your Hometown Hero nomination in. Go to AllenandAllen.com. Click on Hometown Heroes, and you'll see the nomination form, and you can fill it out, and I'll give you more information and talk about that again before we get out of here. But before we talk about some of the cases and what David and what Alan and Alan does, fascinating conversation just about David with the bar and everything, and as you were describing that whole process. What makes the bar so hard? Is it because, and I'm only going by years and years and years ago, I'm probably dating myself, I think it was The Graduate dealt with that. Is it because you're dealing with, you're asked about specific cases and that kind of thing? What makes it so hard?
I don't want to scare people from going to law school because of the horrors of the bar exam, but there's, it's just a lot of pressure. I mean, you've invested a lot of your time, 3 years.
3 years,
law school.
Yeah.
You've certainly invested a lot of money to get that law degree. And in order for you to go out then and make money you know, you need to pass the bar. You need to get a law license. So it's just a lot of pressure built up in that process, and being able to answer questions on the, you know, really 3 years of all the different courses you studied in law school.
Wow. So as you were taking the bar, once you get going, is it the kind of thing where, you know, you've in your mind, you worry about it, but you start feeling confident as it goes on, or do you ever feel confident?
Well, you do once you get into it. I remember, again, I had the bar in the summer. When I took it, was down in Roanoke, and I remember having to drive down to Roanoke, you know, by myself that Sunday night, checked into a hotel that my mom had reserved for me. Put my bag on the bed, and then forgot everything that I had been studying for the last, you know, I had one of those moments when I,
yeah.
And then, you know, you take a deep breath, you calm down. And when you sit down, it's, you know, it's all there and it all comes out, but it is a lot of pressure. But once you're into it, you know, if you've prepared, it's just like now the key, you know, why we're so successful in the cases that we handle is preparation. And if you're prepared and you just put in the work, you're going to see the results.
I guess that kind of thing gets you ready for what real life is like as a lawyer.
It is, but it was still, you know, taking the bar is a weird process because you're also surrounded by, I don't know, 400 or 500 other stressed out people.
So yeah,
it's just a weird process.
So do you get some kind of a diploma or some of the things that are hanging on the wall of a lawyer's, is that what you get after you pass the bar?
You do. What you first get, you know, I've been practicing for 25 years now or so. So the way you find out, it's not like, I think today kids find out they got in college, they can go online and they can look up a number. Back in my day, the way you found out you passed the bar, they literally sent you a letter. About 2.5 months after you took the bar. So there was a lot of walking back and forth to the mailbox to see if you had that magic letter from the bar. But once you get that letter, yes, there you get a certificate that you're licensed to practice law in this wonderful Commonwealth of Virginia.
Okay, and then off you go. Is there a certain number of times you can take the bar?
You know, I'm not sure the answer to that question because I was fortunate enough to pass it on the first time. I heard stories that I think if you don't pass it after 3 or 4 times, the bar may, you know, call you up and bring you in for a chit chat and say, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I guess
for if you don't pass the bar, I mean, there are other careers and there are careers that don't necessarily, you can use the education you've received.
Oh, certainly. There's a lot of people who go to law school and don't have any design on ever practicing law. One example is a lot of FBI agents. A lot of people in the FBI have obtained law degrees. You will see a lot of people in the business industry have law degrees, and of course, a lot of people who go into politics as well.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. David Williams here with Allen and Allen with the Fredericksburg office. He splits his time between the Fredericksburg and Stafford offices. Talk about the Allen and Allen firm and what some of the areas that you're involved in. And if people are interested, if you go to AllenandAllen.com, you've got a whole list of practice areas where you can click on and see different things.
Right. But when you boil it down to what Allen and Allen does is we protect the injured. That's what I like to say. We protect the injured. So we specialize in personal injury cases, whether it be, you know, motor vehicle crashes, tractor trailer crashes, wrongful death, defective products, medical malpractice, traumatic brain injury, any type of case where you can think of where somebody was injured through somebody else's negligence or fault.
Okay. If I'm in an accident where I'm not at fault and I'm injured, how soon should I contact, and do I just, you know, do I pick up the phone and in this case call the Fredericksburg or Stafford office?
Well, the first thing you ought to do when you're in an accident is call the police
and
have the police come to the scene so you can have that documentation. But yes, I and then get the medical treatment that you need as well. But yes, I think somebody should contact a lawyer sooner rather than later, because the sooner we can get involved in the case, the sooner we can get our team of investigators working on it, we can preserve the evidence, and we can advise our clients of all the pitfalls and represent them. So, you know, at that point, as they should, just concentrate on getting better, and we handle all those other things.
It is so interesting. As I looked through the your website the other day, David, I saw so many of so many blogs that various attorneys with Allen Allen had written, and a lot of a majority of the cases or a lot of them that I saw had to deal with distracted driving, texting while driving. Those are obviously cases, unfortunately, that you're seeing a lot of these days.
It is my biggest pet peeve because I'm on 95 is my commute, and you know I cannot tell you. A lot of times I'm sitting on 95, mm-hmm. and a lot of times I'm sitting on 95, and I'll glance over to the car next to me.
I know what you're going to say.
Somebody, it seems like writing a novel on their iPhone, and what's even more troubling, you'll see that if the traffic's not stopped and they're moving.
Yeah.
So it's just really frustrating because you know I don't recall the exact stats, but you know, sending just a simple text, taking your eyes off the road for even 5 seconds, well, your car is going to be traveling at least a football field or more. And the damage that you can do, I mean, I see it on a daily basis. I mean, I keep in my desk drawer photographs of the horrific impact of motor vehicle crashes. So when my children get to driving age, I can sit down and show them. I'm going to try and lobby the General Assembly to raise the driving age to 21. I kid my children about that. I don't think I'm going to be successful. They're going to be driving before you know it. But really, to hit home the importance of a text or a phone call can wait. I don't even like the Bluetooth, the hands free, because you know
your mind wanders.
Yeah, and you're thinking about things, and you need to be thinking on the road in front of you, especially where we live on with the 95 corridor.
Everybody does, and a lot of times. If I'm sitting even across from your office, waiting to turn on Route 3 from Bragg Road, and I see all the people turning, making a left-hand turn, and I bet 80 to 90% of those cars, somebody's got a phone on their ear.
And I tell you, some of my most satisfying cases are those ones where I'm going against a driver who was drunk, who was distracted. Mm-hmm. Because you know, not only securing justice for my client in those situations, but I'm hoping that it also sends a message that you know what, this is something that we're not going to tolerate in our community. You know, you're not going to drive around drunk on Route 3. You're not going to text and then hurt somebody because you were not paying attention. And if you do those things, well, then you know, the community is going to hold you responsible.
Well, and in some cases, if you can't not look at your phone while you're driving, you ought to put it somewhere where you don't have access, because a lot of times I even see I'll be at a light and you're waiting and the light will change and the car in front of you is not moving because the person's texting. And again, it's the same, you know, you talk about 95, you look over at anybody sitting at a light, everybody's looking at their phone, it seems.
Yeah. You know, I hate honking at people, but I don't anymore, and because I see that I see that all the time.
Or you get behind somebody who the speed, you know, you get caught behind somebody who's going substantially under the speed limit, and when you do get around them or get a chance to get around them, you glance over and you see, you know, they're on their phone or they're texting.
Yeah, because again, they can do real damage, and the consequences are horrific, not only for the person that they have injured, but the consequences are going to be significant for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to face their own, you know, criminal penalties, civil penalties, and it can have a, you know, if you, God forbid, you take somebody's life. You know, it's awful.
It's just not worth it. And you think about all the times that in the past and how society got along with us not having phones when we drove. It's driving. You need to be alert anyway, and you just don't need the distractions.
Yeah, I tell my kids I grew up without an iPhone, and we seem to manage to do just fine.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, a lot of times there's often insurance coverage and how much to have is something you always wonder about.
I tell my clients, get as much as you can afford, as much as that family budget can afford. And here's why. Because, you know, in Virginia, you don't have to have car insurance. If you don't, you have to pay some huge uninsured motorist fee to the DMV. But if you do have coverage in Virginia, the minimum limits you can have is a $25,000 policy. And I'll see clients all the time and they'll say, Mr. Williams, I've got full coverage. And I look at their declarations page and it says they've got $25,000 in coverage. Well, yes, you've got quote unquote full coverage, but you've got the state minimum.
Yeah.
And here's why you need as much coverage as you can afford, because if you're ever hit by, say, an uninsured motorist or somebody who flees the scene, and let's say, God forbid, you have a horrific fracture of your leg and you go through three or four surgeries and you incur $300,000 in medical bills, well, all you're going to have to fall back on in that situation is that $25,000 policy. So you want to get as much coverage as you can afford to protect yourself from the guy who either doesn't have enough insurance or may not even have insurance.
That's a good, that puts it really into a good perspective.
And I'll give you another tip. A lot of people don't have this on their policy, but there's something called medical expense coverage or medical payments coverage. That's an extra coverage you can get on that car insurance policy to pay for your medical bills. And what's great about MedPay is that will pay for medical bills anytime you're involved in an accident, even if it's your fault, even if somebody else is responsible for those bills. And that's a fairly, you know, dirt cheap premium to pay. So you know, get as much insurance coverage as you can afford. And I recommend folks get that medical expense coverage as well.
But what's good about that, David, that good reminder is because a lot of times we think, well, you know, if the other person's at fault, they're, you know, they'll take care of it. And in some of those situations, you know, they may not have the insurance, or they may flee, and you may not have that.
Absolutely.
So, boy, that's good stuff. David Williams with Allen & Allen here, the local office, allenandallen.com for more information. There's the Fredericksburg office and the Stafford office. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up and talk again. We'll tell you all about Hometown Heroes and how you can nominate someone for Hometown Heroes. April 30th, the deadline. And we'll tell you how to nominate someone when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
David Williams here from Fredericksburg and Stafford offices of Allen & Allen. Hometown Heroes, our focus, allenandallen.com, the website. And it's pretty easy, David. If I've got someone in mind that I want to nominate to be a Hometown Hero, there's several ways. I can do it online. Like you said, I can stop by an Allen & Allen office.
Right. And again, online, it's www.allenandallen.com, the A&D all spelled out. But you're right. We like getting visitors all the time. So don't be afraid to stop into our office, again, in Fredericksburg or right up there in Stafford.
If I stop in and do something with the office, I can, you'll just give me a sheet of paper with all the things that I would normally do online.
Exactly. Maybe even give you a tour and a free cup of coffee as well.
Oh, okay. Well, who can beat you can't beat that. Again, the Fredericksburg office is over there on Route 3, the big Allen & Allen building, and it's over by the town center. That's the Fredericksburg office. The Stafford office is up on 610.
Right, located in the Dockstone Plaza. So I'm sure folks are familiar with that. That's a big sprawling plaza up there. So we're just about a half a mile off of 95 up there.
So, and you're looking for people that in the truest sense are hometown heroes.
Yeah, people who do little acts of kindness every day for other people. You know, people who inspire that positive change in and around our communities. And if you really want a good idea of who some of these folks have been in the past, if you go to our website, you can read about some of the hometown heroes. We're even on Facebook, and you can follow us on Twitter. But you can go on there, and you can see some of those stories of past heroes and how inspiring their work is.
That is a good. If you have a question, just go and look, because from 2010 to 2017, there are links to all the hometown heroes, and take a look at some of these people. It may jog something in your mind of someone that you know, because we all know somebody who can we should know several people that we could nominate.
You're right. Last year, 30 heroes were selected. So hopefully we'll see how many we can get this year.
We did. And I know one of the heroes from this area last year was Andy McConnell with the Fairy Godmother Project.
It's a wonderful organization.
Yeah. Oh, no. As soon as I saw that she had won, I was kicking myself for not having nominated her previously, just because, and there are just so many people like that that are involved in the community in maybe some big ways, but some small ways. And like we said earlier, all of these people are not anybody that they feel like they're heroes or act like it. They just go about their life, and they just are such a key part to what makes Virginia, Virginia.
Well, and that's what makes their story so inspiring, that they're not doing it for the money. They're not doing it for any glory. I mean, these are truly folks who do just acts of kindness and acts of selflessness. And it's a awesome feeling.
The June 20th, you said earlier, is when the announcement is made. And I think that's made just on the – just go to the – I think it gives the time or something. You know, go to the Allen & Allen website.
Again, yeah, you're right. And again, April 30th is the cutoff. So we're here at the last moment of this process. I appreciate you letting us come in here and promote the Hometown Heroes, because again, it's really something that's so near and dear to Allen and Allen's heart. You know, we're so blessed to be, you know, working in this community and living in this community, and we feel so blessed to be able to shine the spotlight on the folks that make this community such a wonderful place to live.
Boy, and Allen & Allen is helping people, and you're spotlighting people that help people. So it's really the perfect setup here.
It is, and I hope to see you, Ted, maybe at one of our events this year when we honor those heroes.
I hope to be there, because, and I hope to see some people from around here perhaps as the nominees. AllenAndAllen.com. Click on Hometown Heroes or stop by the Fredericksburg or Stafford offices. Again, April 30th is the deadline to do this. Well, David, it's been great to meet you, especially since, as we were talking, you go way back to when Mark Clifford and I did this show when you listened. So you go way back about 10 years or so.
Well, you were the first radio station I tuned into when I moved my family here to Fredericksburg. So I was very excited to be here and meet a true superstar.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And thank you for what Allen & Allen does in the community. So,
thank you
for Hometown Heroes.
Thanks for having me.
AllenAndAllen.com, Hometown Heroes. Click it on April 30th, the deadline. David Williams from Allen & Allen here. That's it. We'll see you Monday on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.